Evening, everyone, and welcome. Oh, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the August 4th, 2025 meeting of the Madison Landmarks Commission. I apologize for starting a little late. That's my fault. I've had having some technical issues, but I'm going to hand it over to Lauren to talk through processes and procedures for tonight's meeting.
Landmarks Commission members, please use video if you're able so we can ensure we have quorum. If you wish to speak, remember to use the raise hand feature. Also, use the raise hand feature to make a motion or second. Voting will be considered unanimous. However, if you object to a unanimous vote, please use the raise hand feature when the chair asks for objections and a roll call vote will be taken. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. You will have 3 minutes to speak, and staff will tell you when your time is up. Please do not use your video. If you turn on your video, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Lauren. So first up, I'm looking for the approval of the July 21st, 2025 meeting minutes. Is there a motion? Alder Duncan, and a second from Maurice. Thank you. I'm going to assume unanimous consent, and I will move on to the public comment period. This is the period of our agenda in which members of the public may comment on any item that is not on our current agenda. Seeing none, I am going, seeing that we have none registered, sorry, I'm going to move on to disclosures and recusals. Members of the body should make any required disclosures or recusals under the city's ethics code. Does anyone have any disclosures and recusals tonight? Seeing none, it is the practice of the Landmarks Commission to approve a consent agenda. This includes items that are removed from the agenda to be voted on as a group on which staff believes an application has had sufficient review towards approval with all of the conditions placed upon it. The applicant accepts those conditions, and there are no individuals who are registered to speak in opposition to the item. The consent agenda is addressed at the beginning of the meeting to allow applicants and registrants to leave the meeting unless a member of the commission requests separation, and then that agenda item is placed back on the agenda and reviewed as part of regular course of business. The following are proposed for the consent agenda. So this is agenda item number 3, Legistar file 88975, 740 Jennifer Street. Do any commissioners request separation of the project? Seeing none, then I'm looking for a motion. Alder Duncan, do I have a second? Thank you, Jacob. I'm going to assume unanimous consent unless I see otherwise by hands for your opposition. Okay, excellent. Then we can move on. That matter passes, and we can move on to agenda item number 2. This is Legistar file 88974, 739 Jennifer Street. And I'm going to hand it over to you, Heather.
I would recommend opening the public hearing first, and it's your call on if you want to do public comment on this item first, or if you want to for staff to do the presentation.
Okay, I will open the public hearing then, and let's do public comment first. Everyone gets 3 minutes, right, Heather?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, excellent. Then, whoops. Sorry, my timer is already starting to go. Okay, so first up, I have Joy Newman registered neither in support nor opposition, but wishing to speak. Joy, are you here?
Yes, I'm just unmuting.
Excellent. 1 second and I'll get that started. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I was expecting to listen, not speak, but I better go because I've got 3 minutes. I really want to sing the praises of my neighbor, my new neighbor, and the work that she's done to remodel the house that's up for consideration now with her demolition and an addition. We have some areas that we're trying to work out where I don't quite understand what she's going to do, but by and large, I'm strongly in support of this what's it called? Application. I'm strongly
Yes.
in support of the I've lived here for about 30 some years next to what's my neighbor's name?
Leslie.
Not know my own for the child.
Dick Wagner.
Dick Wagner. I'm getting old. And he was a fabulous neighbor, and I know he actually probably handpicked Leslie for to buy the house. And my observation of her since she's been the owner is that she's done an amazing job of improving the structural flaws. Hiring masons, they were here. I mean, I first met her in the 22 of 2022. She hired masons to completely rebuild the sandstone original foundation for the house, and it was an enormous amount of work. And so I have, and I've only actually seen the proposal for the demolition and the rebuild in the last few weeks. So, but as I've gotten through it and had some questions, which she and I have met, and I have a feeling that we're going to get through this through the demolition and the rebuild. I mean, it's not an insignificant job. It's a huge job, and we're very close neighbors physically, you know. And so I think your recommendation to go ahead with this project is a good idea, and I support it fully. I will continue my work with her to work out some of the bugs, but she's very cooperative, and I think we can get those taken care of. Any questions?
No, not at this time, but if we do have a question, we will circle back to you.
Okay.
I then have several people registered and support available to answer questions. Looks like they're all potentially part of the design firm. So I have an Abigail Rollinger, Michael Etter, Leslie Marshall, who I believe is the owner, and Michael Abraham. Available to answer questions. Are any of you planning to speak tonight, or are you just here to available to answer questions?
Just available to answer questions.
Okay, thank you. Then I guess I'm going to keep public open for now, but I'm going to hand it over to Heather to do her presentation.
Okay. Up on the screen, I do not have the relatively recent Google Street View because when Google came by in June. There was a contractor van parked right in front of this building, blocking the view. So this picture is from the project submittal, but this is the historic resource in question. So the proposed work is to demolish an existing 1950s rear addition and construct a new rear addition. For history of the property, this was constructed in 1857, one of the very early American settlement period houses constructed in Madison for Frederick and Joanna Southoff. Frederick was a tailor, and there was, in terms of later construction, there was the 1950s rear addition. This was designated a Madison landmark in 1977, so it's one of our very early landmarks. It was designated for two things. One is for its vernacular interpretation of Italianate residential architecture, and also for its association with early 19th century merchant families. Oh, sorry, had some weird feedback there. Otherwise, this building had the other change happened in 1985. This was originally a flat roof structure, and in 1985, Landmarks Commission approved a really low profile hipped roof to help with drainage because flat roofs can sometimes have challenges. But that changed one of the elements of the building, and it's important for us to think about the flat lines as we're talking about the precedent for going into
Going into
interpreting the
interpret.
addition. So, up on the screen, we have one of the plans from the application. I liked this because it shows the addition, but then we also have the dotted outline of both where the addition currently sits and some of the hardscaping elements associated with that. But then we also have these existing pictures to show you the side of the building that we're talking about that would be impacted. Here we have some renderings showing what would be visible from the developed public right of way here on the left-hand side. So you have the existing historic resource, and then significantly set back, you are going to see a little bit of a portion of the addition. Looking from further back on the property, what we have here is something that is differentiated per the requirements of the standards. It is going to read as a product of its time, but it is also following the very boxiness of the original design, where everything here, we have these really strong, thick lintels on the historic resource. We've got a largely flat roof in portions. Everything about this building has a very sort of blocky nature to it. So this is a very contemporary interpretation of that. The glass walls will also allow you to continue to read the masonry, the historic masonry of the historic resource behind. I think this is then subtle. It's not trying to compete with the historic resource and is an interpretation of a complementary approach to the historic resource. So coming around for the other sides, this would be the view kind of from the lake if you're getting up close and personal. And you can see the shared path that's in between the neighbors coming down the side here, and then another path going from this patio area. There are some details on some materials being proposed, but there are several materials that we need some more information on. And so that's detailed in the staff report. Otherwise, for applicable standards, we're talking about the Secretary of the Interior standards for rehabilitation. The staff report has a more in-depth discussion. We're primarily dealing with standards 9 and 10 related to this addition of is this interjecting a false sense of history? I do not believe so. Or a false sense of historic development? And is it complementary to the historic structure and done in any way where it could be removed in the future where, so as not to have an adverse effect on the character of the historic resource? And I believe this proposal has met those standards. So for the staff recommendation, staff believes that the standards for granting a certificate of approval could be met and recommends the Landmarks Commission approve the project with the following conditions. For there's a portion that has clapboard, it needs to be, if we're going with a non-wood, then it needs to either be a smooth board or a brush smooth appearance composite, if that's what we're going with. We need, I said, final door and wood window trim, because there's some details related to the window and door units themselves. All of those look good to go, but we do need information on what are we doing for the window trim. Soffit and fascia, what are the materials we're talking about there? I took off roof cladding because that is one of the materials that's in there, but how are we doing venting? Is that going to be something related there with soffit? Again, we just need those details, but the element related to the comments that we received for the hardscaping details. We've got a general path, but we don't have any details related to the materials for the hardscaping. And that design may or may not change as the neighbors are figuring out what comes into play with the easement. And when they settle those details, then we can get the final details related to the hardscaping and how the path may or may not change. New exterior light fixtures and new mechanicals. We do have one light. I wasn't exactly clear where that would go. There's a notation on the plans for a new HVAC unit. I need information on what that will be, if there's how it's attaching to the building, if this is something that's going to be covered in line height, anything related to that. So recommend approval with these final details to be approved by staff.
Does anyone have any questions for Heather? Seeing none, Does anyone have any questions for the project team after Heather has given her presentation? Okay, seeing none, then I'm looking for a discussion and or a motion. Jacob.
Thanks. I just want to say the treatment to the house seems very sympathetic. It's in the back where it's less noticeable from the street and respects the integrity of the house from the front. The existing addition that's on there now is probably actually maybe a brighter one than the new one going on. So I think it's a very good job of incorporating the palette and kind of overall scale of an addition on the back and distinctly different stylistically, which is nice. So it stands apart. It's just worth noting it's an important house that Dick Wagner lived in, who was an important member of many different Madison committees and commissions, including this one. And I think they've done a good job, and I will leave to anybody else to discuss before making a motion.
Yeah, I guess I will comment also in that, to be honest, I had a surprise reaction to the addition at first, because it is a little more modern than we typically see on these additions. But then I had to think about how I occasionally, specifically, I'm like, it would be nice to have something that is this distinct and kind of obviously modern. So I personally came around to it. I should note that was personal taste, not landmark taste. But it's nice to see someone doing kind of a very modern addition, which is not something we get a lot on landmarks. It can be fun. Molly.
Yeah, I also noted that it was more contemporary than most things we see for additions onto a landmark structure. And I will concur with Jacob that I think given that the addition is on the back of the structure and given its scale, I don't think that it interferes with the landmark structure and that it does complement it. The question I had, I think, going into this meeting was about the hardscaping. Because on the application materials and in some of the public comment, on the application materials, it was listed as like prospective and this is going to be done, but we don't have any details. And we also received some public comment about it, but I feel comfortable leaving that to staff to review. Yeah, those are my comments so far. And if I'll make a motion to approve with staff recommendations, but if others would like to comment first, we don't have to second that.
I guess before there is a second, I will, I know that the property owner is here, just the property owner, she was registered at least. Does the property owner have any questions or concerns regarding those conditions?
No, I'm good. I appreciate the time to review it and look forward to continuing the process.
Thank you. And I will note, because I see someone has their hand raised, that unless we don't have a question for you, we don't typically go back and answer questions as part of regular business. So we have a motion. I'm looking for a second or
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. Then I am going to assume unanimous consent on this unless I see otherwise by hands raised, both either virtual or in person that I can see in your videos. Not seeing any. So thank you. That passes. Please plan to work with Heather to kind of make sure that there are any things that she needs to complete the review of this project. Joy, if you have any questions, please also reach out to Heather.
I do know that there were some things noted in your letter that may fall outside of our jurisdiction, but Heather, maybe if she has not already, can point you in the right direction for moving forward with some of those questions that are just outside of our purview. Okay, and that is our agenda for today. So I'm looking for a motion for adjournment. I'm sorry. Molly has one. Is there a second? Thank you, Jacob. And thank you, everyone, for coming. I apologize for on my end. I've had, like I said, I'm working in a place that I didn't think I'd be working in. So thank you all, and I will see everyone in a couple of weeks.